在线英语听力室 tinroom.com 欢迎您。
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. President Bush said today when history reviews America's response to the September 11th attacks, it will find, quote, we did not tire, we did not falter, and we did not fail. The president today marked the 7th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks with a moment of silence at the White House at 8:46 a.m., the exact moment the terrorists crashed the first hijacked jet into the World Trade Center in New York. A second plane struck the Trade Center a short time later, while another plane hit the Pentagon, and a fourth crashed in a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Nearly 3,000 people died in the attacks, including 184 people inside the Pentagon. The first major permanent 9/11 memorial was unveiled at the Pentagon today. Hundreds gathered to dedicate the site. NPR's J.J. Sutherland reports from the Pentagon.
184 stone benches are scattered next to the place where American Airlines Flight 77 plowed into the building 7 years ago. On each is engraved the name of someone who died here that day. 125 of them face the Pentagon as you read the names, those who died in the building. 59 others, with the names of the passenger and crew of the plane, face the sky. President George Bush dedicated the memorial and spoke to the crowd.
The day will come when most Americans have no living memory of the events of September the 11th. When they visit this memorial, they will learn that the 21st century began with a great struggle between the forces of freedom and the forces of terror.
The memorial will be open to the public 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. J.J. Sutherland, NPR News, the Pentagon.
In a televised interview tonight on ABC, Republican vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin said that if Georgia were admitted to NATO, the U.S. would be obliged to defend the former Soviet Republic from Russia. In an exclusive interview with ABC's Charles Gibson, the Alaska governor also explained a previous statement in which she said to have characterized the Iraq war as a task from God.
I would never presume to know God's will or to speak God's words. But what Abraham Lincoln had said, and that's a repeat in my comments, was, let us not pray that God is on our side in a war or any other time, but let us pray that we are on God's side. That's what that comment was all about, Charlie.
Palin says she never hesitated when asked by McCain to be his running mate. Hurricane Ike could hit Texas over the weekend. Emily Donahue has a report on the state's preparations.
Texas Governor Rick Perry said he could not stress enough the threat to Texans from Hurricane Ike.
Finish your preparations, because this is a storm that can have extraordinary impact, and it's on its way.
Mandatory evacuations are in effect along the coast. Some highways have been turned around to allow more cars to get inland. The Port of Houston has shut down through Monday, and oil refineries are closing. The hurricane is expected to bring a storm surge of at least 14 feet. Perry called this the strongest storm to impact Texas since Rita in 2005.
This is NPR News. With two more U.S. soldiers reported to have been killed in Afghanistan today, 2008 is shaping up to be the deadliest year for U.S. troops since the 2001 invasion. Officials say a U.S. soldier died when insurgents attacked a compound, while another died in combat. The killings bring the total number of U.S. troops who've lost their lives in Afghanistan this year to 113. U.S. forces moved into Afghanistan in October of 2001 in response to the 9/11 attacks. A deal has been announced between Zimbabwe's President Robert Mugabe and the opposition. The power-sharing arrangement comes after stop-and-start talks that followed a disputed presidential election in Zimbabwe and political violence there. NPR's Fabio Quistarkin has more.
South Africa's President Thabo Mbeki, who brokered the political deal for Zimbabwe, called it a unanimous agreement supported by all parties. So it should include President Mugabe's party and the opposition, led by Morgan Tsvangirai, as well as a breakaway faction. Mbeki had been harshly criticized over the years for cutting Mugabe too much slack, but he described the accord as made in Zimbabwe and owned by all Zimbabweans. The main hold-up during the negotiations was over the division of power in any unity government, and, barring any leaks, we won't know till Monday how key posts will be divvied up and whether President Mugabe retains all his authority. That would be unlikely, since the opposition has signed on to the Zimbabwe settlement. Ofer Biakwistarkton, NPR News, Dakar.
Automaker Ford has notified the United Auto Workers Union because of the slumping economy and declining vehicle sales. It has about 4,000 more hourly workers than it needs. Ford, which posted quarterly losses of $8.7 billion, has been offering buyouts to its hourly workers. On Wall Street, the Dow was up 164 points. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.